As God touches our heart, as God moves us in so many different ways, I want to encourage you to pay attention to your surroundings. I want to encourage you to pay close attention to the personalities that are around you. You see, God loves you individually. He loves you as a person. He loves you as His child. And God, in that love, wants you to find the peace that surpasses all understanding. That means the kind of peace that the world cannot give you. God says, I want to give you. I want to give you hope. Not only do I want to give you a good tomorrow, I'm going to make that tomorrow just special for you. Now, that's the God we serve, folks. He is a God of love, a God of care, a God of concern. That same God that I'm speaking of is a God that also touched my heart to call me to preach, will be the God that'll touch my heart to tell me when I'm through. That God is a God of power, a God that looks to you and looks to me and says, I have a message for you. Many times that message is delivered from the pulpits. Many times the message is delivered from the home life. Many times the message is delivered throughout the world. From every aspect, everything that exists, a message comes from God. And that message says, pay attention. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching a message that God has laid on my heart. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you all a 3-page printout to take home with you to look at the scriptures that I have for you on that message. But it is a message that I know within my spirit is so needed in this our day. You know that my theme for this year is life is. Life is dot, dot, dot. You fill in the dots. Life is. Next Sunday, it's going to be life is raising our next generation. Raising our next generation. You know, when God laid that message on my heart, and I am going to preach this morning, but when God laid that message on my heart, I know, and you hear me say it quite often, we're one generation away from paganism, one generation away from losing the freedom of worship, the courage and the boldness that God has given into the heart of man, one generation away from not seeing that. A touch of that is this. At the death of Joshua, you will hear next Sunday, the scripture says, at his death, all of those who had served the Lord before him and had walked him through in his generation, they had gone on. And the scripture says, at the death of Joshua, the next generation did not serve the Lord. And when I talk about a generation away, people say, well, we got a whole generation to work on it. No, according to scripture, at the death or the stop of a voice, God showed them that that next generation, because the leaders of that generation did not care enough to remind them about their respect for God, respect for their fellow man, they did not believe and follow the Lord. And boy, did Israel suffer. Today, I want you to look at a message that God has given for us. Apply it to your heart, folks. I don't know how long, how much longer we will get to hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ from the pulpits of America. Don't know, but I do know this. Everybody preaching it had better be making certain that the gospel they are preaching is of God, and that God gives them that word, because the time truly is short. Life is, for you and me, the preparation period for the time to come. Now, good times are coming. I got news for you. This world, in all of its evil and all that it pulls on you, good times are coming. We see a glimpse of good times. We have good days, bad days, sometimes more bad than good, we think. But we're in a day and in a period where God is preparing us to give us the joy of the salvation that he brought through Jesus, his son, on that cross. But those times will be with him. In the meantime, it's preparation time. You and I have a responsibility to one another. We have a dear, basic responsibility to God to spread the truth of his word. It's a preparation period. It's a boot camp, if you will. It's a time period for God where he is allowing us to relate to him, to listen to his voice, to take his word to a lost and dying world. It's that time. It is the time of the word of God. And when God blesses you with the touch and with the word, spread the word. Tell the truth. Let the world know there is one Savior. His name is Jesus. Outside that name, there is no salvation. Let them hear you from your heart. For the generation is coming when they will no longer believe in the word of Christ, when the spark will have been put out in their mind and in their heart because of the actions of those around them or the inactions of those around them. God says, don't you be a part of that. You stand with character. You stand with truth. You stand with me. And when you hear that voice, you truly stand. I didn't have a scripture in your printout, but I did tell David, and he always is always on the ball. It's John 16:33. For I want you to hear the last words that Jesus was saying before we go into this message this morning. It's John 16:33. He's looking at his disciples. Now, you got to picture Jesus looking to the depth of who they are. I have told you these things, he says, so that in me you may have peace. So that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Got that right. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. So Jesus just says this. And he says to the heart of his followers, he said, I want you to listen to me. For now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, starting in verse 1, it's called the priestly prayer. You hear me? Why is it called that? Because the senior priest was around, no matter where they were, always offered a prayer. And that prayer had power. For that was the priest of priests praying it. Jesus is our priest of priests, and he prays this prayer. And I want you to hear your name in it. I want you to see America in it. I want you to see the world in it. I want you to hear the word of God while you can. First of all, Jesus prayed for himself. You know what he prayed for? He prayed for the glory of his Father. You hear me? He prayed for himself, but he prayed for himself that in him, in his body, he may glorify God the Father. The word of God is sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, more powerful than any army. The word of God, when spoken and proclaimed, will shake the mountains, will cause the evil to back up, will back away any enemy of God at any time. That's how sharp that word is. Listen to Jesus as he glorifies his Father. John 17, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus had said this, what did he say? At John 16, 33. He said, look, in me you're going to have peace. He just told them that. He said, stick with me, you got peace. Stick with me, you have the peace. In the world, you're going to have trouble. Then he brings it to the point. Let me paraphrase. Don't sweat it. I've overcome the world. I got you. When Jesus touches your life, has touched you the way that he has you in his hand, in his heart. Do you realize there's no more of a personal place that you could be than in the heart of Christ, your Savior? Do you understand that Jesus knows your name? Do you know that he knows your future? Do you realize that Jesus just knows you? He knows you for who you are. But you know how he sees you? He sees you as who he created you to be, already accomplished. He sees you as a victor. Oh, this world can be tricky. This world can pull you back. This world can be hurtful, deadly. Oh, but wait a minute. I just read it. He did say, I have overcome the world. Listen, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and he prayed, Father, the time has come. I told you, God's in control of time. Time's not in control of God. God doesn't have to hurry because of time. Men need to hurry because of time. The time is short for us. Oh, the Lord speaks in a mighty way, in a mighty voice. But folks, I want you to go beyond the voice of God. Hear me. You go beyond the voice of God and look to the heart of God. You look to the very essence of who God is and who he is. He has given to you to become more like his Son. Pay attention, for it is in that word that you will find peace. Victory is assured. I'm already victorious and I haven't even got there yet. I'm on my way. But trust me on this. He says, I got a word for you. I'll give you that word in your heart. I'll apply it to your mind. In your spirit, you will feel me moving within you. You will understand that as I touch your life, I've called you for a purpose. Fulfill the purpose and come on home. Fulfill the purpose and come on home. I'll show you the rest personally. Oh, what a personal tour with Jesus. That's awesome. Don't need any lights. He is the light. Don't need anybody else to love me because he is the love. But because of Jesus in each one of us, we have love for one another. Because of Jesus in each one of us, we have need for one another. We need each other. For it is that togetherness that brings us to the Spirit. And it is that Spirit, once it has consumed us, that unites us. Unites us in a way that the world doesn't understand. He prayed for himself. In the process, that God be glorified. And then he looked at that roughneck bunch of disciples he had that believed in him. And he says this to God the Father. John 17, verse 9. I pray for them. He's looking at them. Father, I pray for them. Then it's like a pause. I'm not praying for the world, he says. You think of that one. I'm praying for these guys. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you, Father, have given me. For they are yours. These disciples, remember all of our studies and all on them? Rough as a cob. They like me and you. Rough. And he says, for they are yours. Jesus uses us roughnecks. Yeah, he does. Jesus touches the heart. And when he touches the heart, he changes the world. He looks to the depth of what is going on and he sees the personality that is needed for that time. And he says, go get them. Tell them my word. John 20, verse 26. Thomas is having trouble. Thomas is having trouble about Jesus being resurrected. This is one of the ones that Jesus has just prayed for. Then Jesus told him, looking at Thomas, because Thomas, he said, Lord, you know, if I could feel the holes in your hands, if I could touch the hole in your side, I would believe. And so Jesus holds out his hand, says, put your hand on the hole on my side. And he does it. But now listen to this. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those. Actually, the interpretation on that is, how much more blessed are those who have not seen me and they believe? He's talking about us. He's talking about us. How much more blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe? But Lord, these you have given me. They are yours. And then from that prayer, he shifts to me and you. I want to remind you of something I've told you over all of these years. Jesus Christ never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. When Jesus prays, God always answers. Listen to this. He's praying for us, the church age generation of believers. And he's praying that we'll prepare. Lord, get them prepared to receive me in them. Get them prepared, Father. But these are mine. I want you to picture something. Jesus is not giving us to God as a gift. Listen to me. God has given us to Jesus because of his pride in his Son. Jesus had asked for us to always be with him. It's God's gift to Jesus. You and I are. For all who believe, oh, listen to me on this. My prayer is not for them alone, his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's what the Bible is. The message from those disciples, from all those who followed God, written so that we may believe. Give them the word. That proclamation remains true today. Give them the word. Though it hurt you, though you die in the process, no matter what it is, preach the word. And then John 17, verses 24 through 26. Listen to me. This is his prayer for you and me. Father, I want those you have given me. Now, did you catch that? God gave Jesus, gave us to Jesus. God gave us to Jesus. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Woo! What a prayer. I like that. Keep praying to Jesus. I like that. And to see my glory. Jesus just prayed for the glory. And to be witnessed in us, and to be seen and lived by us in heaven. The glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Yes, Jesus has always been, as God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus has always been. One time in existence that Jesus was ever separated from God the Father was right on a cross. He had to be. He had to take the punishment. The punishment for sin is separation from God. And Jesus was determined to die for you. He knew your name to die for you through God's glory so you would never ever have to feel what he had to feel on the cross. When he cried out, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? And the power of God touched our life. And Jesus is praying for me here and for you. Listen to him well. The glory you have given me before, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. That's us. He's talking specifically about me and you. And they know that you have sent me. I, Jesus says, have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. God loves me as much as he loves his son Jesus. Woo, that's love. Think of that. And here's your power. You ready? That I myself may be in them. Or you not only have the Spirit, you got Jesus, the Son, God the Father. You're homebound in your belief in our Savior who died on that cross. The moment you said, I believe, you're heaven bound. Nothing can take that away from you. A lot will hurt you. A lot will break you. A lot will bend you to the point you think you can never, ever recover from it. But I got news for you. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus knows my story. And the scripture said he told his Father my story. I don't even know my story. You don't even know your story. Jesus knows my story, your story, from before your recent ancestors even were. He knows your gene pool. He knows how many chips up here ain't firing every time you click the key. He knows. And he takes all that into consideration. And you know what he says? I love you. I think I'd have given anything to have heard those words growing up. I love you. But I didn't. But I do now. You see, it is the love that supersedes all understanding that captures your heart. It is the love that's beyond all other love that holds you in his arms. It is the love that only God can give that will bring peace to a weary soul. The love of a father to his son. The love of the Ancient of Ancients to the loved ones. Their responsibility, your responsibility, tell the story. Tell the story of Jesus. Tell the truth about the salvation of our Savior for the life of those maybe that you don't think too much of. You might not because of their personality. I got news for you. Jesus loves them. Tell the story. You don't have the choice. And my friends, you don't have the time. Because you do not know the time or the hour that you will be called away. You don't know the time. You'll know the season, but you won't know the exact moment. But I serve a God who knows. But I'm being called away for victory. You'll be taken away to experience the victory that Jesus has already prepared. Folks, you got a supper to go to. But you ain't there yet. Don't be listening to that stomach growl. You still have work to do right here on planet Earth. Get it done. Get it done. You have a Savior. That Savior prayed for you. And he prayed, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. And it's the Word of God. Jesus never prayed a prayer that God didn't answer. Let us be together in glory land, but let us take as many as we can with us. God likes a big family. That's the Word of God. And it doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for such love as you give us. Touch us now, dear Lord God. Give us courage, boldness. Help us to stand strong and help us to always remember our responsibility is one another. Help us to do and follow what you've told us to do. Give us courage and boldness, for it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. During our time of invitation, for those of you who are watching us, those of you who are listening on all the different medias, may God's blessing be such a part of your life. Remember, when you say yes to Jesus, that Jesus you're serving, he prayed for you. He mentioned you, and he said that he wants you to be where he is. You can count on getting there. Let's stand together. Brother Randy.
Whatever decisions you need to make today, don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't put it off till you walk out the door and say, well, Lord, I'll get back with you sooner or later. Make it now. Come forward and pray. Somebody will come and pray with you if you'd like. Just stand where you're at and make that decision for Jesus. Let's sing. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to
look down in that ditch of life. If you look in that ditch of life, you'll see somebody down there hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. You reach that hand down in that ditch, you just might touch the hand of Jesus. Whatever you do as you go, don't you dare gossip. Go in love, go in peace, go in service to God. God bless you. You're dismissed.